welcome to the program. We're in message number 9 in the book of Colossians. Have your Bible ready if you can. This program, we've seen that Paul the Apostle began this series by saying that he was doing what he was doing by the will of God. Now, for Paul, doing the will of God gave him a life of opposition. We said last program that Bob Jones Sr. said years ago, the doors of opportunity swing on the hinges of opposition. Opportunity is a set of circumstances that makes it possible to do something. Paul the Apostle had some tremendous opportunities to witness to people that nobody would have a chance to be in touch with because of the fact that he was in prison and he was before Caesar and all the rest of it. These were opportunities, and again, the doors of opportunity swing on the hinges of opposition. Opposition is not being the same, being in a different position, which usually leads to a conflict, and we can see that all through the life of Paul. But what Paul was more concerned about than anything else in this world was that he might do what he did by the will of God. The only Christians in this world who can have a peace that passes understanding and really enjoy and get the most out of the Christian life in this world are those who seek the will of God and find the will of God for their lives. The phrase, teach me, is in the Bible 15 times. Teach me to hold my tongue. Teach me thy paths. Teach me your truth. Teach me thy way. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me good judgment. And teach me to do thy will. Those phrases are all found in the Word of God, and they ought to be part of our prayer life. Listen to this message and song, Teach Me. Listen to it and make it your prayer today.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way, teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to be, that be my Thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. All doubt free. teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through all my days. Teach thou my soul to cry, be thou, dear Savior, nigh. Teach me to live, to die, saved by thy grace.
In a previous message we read in Colossians 2, verse 8, Paul said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy." A philosophy is a particular system of philosophical thought. Now, there's a deep definition right out of the dictionary. What does it mean to be philosophical? Well, that is, according to the dictionary, relating or devoted to knowledge as a result of studying. So the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, the Bible says here, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy," through some philosophical thought that is after the world and not after Christ. He said, "Beware that you're not after the rudiments of the world rather than after Christ." And then from verse 9 down through verse number 15, as we saw in our previous program, everything is about Christ. You have the phrase in verse 9, "in him," twice, "in whom," verse 11. In verse 12, we have the phrase, "with him," twice. And then we see here that Paul said in verse 13, "and you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." It's all about being with him. And so he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, which is after the tradition of men and not after Christ, but after the rudiments of the world." So he says to the Colossians, their problem with his philosophies that were infiltrating are all listed down here in verses 16 to 23, and we won't go through those again. We went through them in our last program. Our philosophies or vain traditions are very different from what theirs were. Nevertheless, we need to beware lest any man spoil us through philosophy and vain deceit. Now, God always gives us not only directions on what to do, but he gives us the formula on how to do it. And as we get into chapter 3, we have that formula on how to beware of these situations. And he says here in chapter 3 and verse number 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Seeking and setting in this chapter is what we're going to see. First of all, he says, "seeking those things which are above." Now, to seek is to attempt to find something. We read in Psalm chapter 14, verse number 2, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." Proverbs 8:17 says, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Now remember, to seek is the attempt to find something. Hebrews 11:6 says, "He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Are you seeking him? Are you taking time every day? Set some time aside and say, "Lord, I want to seek you today in whatever area that is on your heart." Maybe you're having a hard time. Maybe you're going through some circumstances. The Bible says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We've seen here in the previous chapter, it's all about him. Well, the wisest man in the world says in Ecclesiastes 1:13, of course that was Solomon, he said, I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. Now, what he's saying here, if you read the whole book, he said, how dieth a wise man? As a fool. He said, I had this special gift from God and I blew it. He said, I gave my heart to seek and to search out wisdom concerning all the things that are done under heaven. The Bible says, seek those things that are above. Ecclesiastes 2:1, he said, I said in my heart, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. He used the word vanity in Ecclesiastes 33 times. He said, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. Well, God says, those that seek me shall find me. Hebrews 4 and verse number 16 says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 10 concerning the sheep. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and shall find pasture. Now, the Lord likened us to sheep. He is the shepherd. And he says, I'll give you the pasture. What is that? That is the things that are satisfying to the sheep. Solomon was looking for those things in the world, and he said it is vanity and vexation of spirit. Well, Paul gives us directions in seeking, and then he gives us directions in setting. He said in chapter 3 and verse number 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Again, we read of Solomon. He sought those things which were under the heavens, and he said it was vanity and vexation of spirit. So God says, set your affection on things above. What are you setting your affections on today? We seem to go after all the things of this world that they're not satisfying. Only Jesus can satisfy the soul. Not only that, he said, set your affections, and he said in verse 5, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Mortify means to put to death. Vine's dictionary says it's the destroying of the strength of, that is, depriving us of power to do what God wants us to do. And so he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And then he lists fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. And so he's talking to these good Christians here. He's not talking to the Corinthians. He's talking to Christians who are determined to do right. And he says, well, you need to seek and you need to set your affection on things that are above and put to death that things in your members, such as, again, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Then he said in verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. And so he says to these good Christians in Colossae, he said, beware, watch out, because someone is going to try to spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Then he says, here's part of the secret of getting the success. Verse 7, in the time in the which ye also, when they were children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. And here's the secret. But now ye also put off all these things, and he mentions anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with the deeds. It's interesting that these good Christians are getting this message from Paul. This message is for you and I if you're determined to walk the way God wants you to walk. Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That word vocation has been translated calling. Let's read it that way. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye are called. Again, we have seen that this portion of scripture in chapter 1 and verse number 1 is written to all the saints in general. We are all called with a calling to live as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So he says we need to put off some things, but then he says in verse number 10, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on, he says in verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, put on charity. That word is from the Greek agape and has usually been translated love. But here's translated charity, and it translated charity because that's the way the Holy Spirit wanted it translated. And he said, above all these things, put on charity. Now, what's the difference between love and charity? Well, love, when we love somebody, like a husband loves his wife, a wife loves a husband, you're going to get love returned. You love your grandchildren, and they hug you, and they tell you they love you. That's something in return. But charity is where you give expecting nothing in return. And he says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And so Paul says to these good Christians at the church there at Colossae, he said, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and not after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Beware, he says, but here's the formula on having the success. There are some things we need to put off, and there are some things we need to put on. Well, we're just touching the surface. I hope you'll take this book of Colossians and study it verse by verse and make the applications that the Lord would have you make.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Loving me, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me be made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation.